The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Good evening, everybody. Amanda Richard here, and tonight we've got my friend Devon Leger from the West Coast. He is active in promoting folk music and roots music all over the United States. His company is called Hearth Music, and he plays great stuff. But one of the things that he sent me around Christmas time was a CD of his family playing, and we are going to hear some of that, and he's going to talk about his musical background and some of the artists that his company represents. So sit back, relax. I think you're going to enjoy this. We're going to start off with something that's got his parents playing from the playing of, from the playing of Georges Leblanc, a guy from up in the Acadia portion of Canada. And the name of the song is Rio du Petit Cap. So this is Devon Leger's parents, Louis Leger on the accordion and his mother, Barbara, on the guitar. I think you'll enjoy it. Devon, who are those fine people we just got a chance to listen to?
Oh, thanks, Richard. That was La Famille Leger. That was my family band, my dad and my mom, Louis and Barbara. It's a little tune there from my dad's hometown of Memramcook in the south of New Brunswick.
Ah, wow. And it comes from the playing of Georges Leblanc?
Yeah, there's a strange little tradition of accordion in New Brunswick. And this guy did a PhD thesis on this music, and my dad kind of ran some of it down. And usually in New Brunswick, fiddling is kind of the king. Same with Nova Scotia and PEI and a lot of parts of eastern Canada. But there is this interesting accordion tradition, and my dad loves the accordion, so he has felt a lot of kinship with these players. And Leblanc is like, my grandma's name was Leblanc, his mom's name was Leblanc, and everybody's name Leblanc in that town. And Leger, I thought I had a weird name, but then I went to New Brunswick, and like 10 pages of the phone book is all Leger, half the phone book practically.
Well, one of the things that I just love is, as I've told you before, is Gary Irving, WVUD's folk music director, and I both like just light up when we get a package from Hearth Music, because you guys really do a fine job of supporting all different kinds of folk and roots music that comes out.
Oh, thanks for that. It's nice to hear. Yeah, we're very lucky to work with a lot of our favorite artists, and we spend a lot of time on the ground trying to figure out what's happening and where the great music is coming from. And it's really as a publicist, I just kind of think about it as I'm sharing my favorite music with my friends. That's I try and keep it as simple as that.
And that's exactly what happens when I get email from you or Mindy or your wife or or when I get a package from you. It's always really great stuff.
And I think that's good to hear.
And I think that one of the things that just made my Christmas weekends, I'm sitting down going through a bunch of mail I have, and I think it's all these Christmas cards, and here's something from your family.
Yeah, we sent a little Christmas card out with the whole family. Hearth is a family-run business. My mom and dad do a lot of the packaging, and they help out. My mom actually does a lot of the interview transcriptions for some of the writing that we do. So we always thought of it as a family business. My kids stuffed the envelopes when they were little, and they still do sometimes. I mean, totally legally, of course.
But I mean, I think one of the things that makes you such a good publicist is your obvious background in all the different kinds of folk music that you help support.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the nerdier people when it comes to folk music, I've been working in the field for about 10 years, and I worked with this festival in Seattle, the Northwest Folklife Festival. So that gave me, like, it was a huge festival. We would book like 800 bands a year. It was during the festival. It was a huge event. So that gave me really good on-the-job training to just, you know, discover each of the different parts of American roots music, you know, each of the different areas.
Now, it really makes a difference, I think, for these artists, what you and your family do. I know my friend Chris Beshear really appreciated your work with him, and I doubt very much if the Rail Splitters would be being booked at the Delaware Valley Bluegrass Festival this Labor Day weekend if it weren't for your helping push them out and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, I hate to see a really good album go unnoticed. You know, I think we've all had that experience where you find something that's like, why don't more people know about this? And there's nothing worse than the feeling of, you know, something really amazing that just, for some reason, people aren't hearing it. So that's why I started the work. I mean, I think that there's a real element of that. Just, like, I didn't want to see great music get kind of run over, you know. And people like the Rail Splitters, like, they don't need much, you know. You just need to get them into some people's hands, and they're going to go from there. That's a lot of talent.
Get them in people's ears, and they'll get work.
Yeah.
Well, I want to play something from the Sweet Lowdown.
Yeah, that's right. Canadian trio out of Victoria, B.C.
Yeah, this is Miriam Sonstans, Amanda Bleed, and Shanti Brammer. And they're from up in Victoria, British Columbia.
That's right, yeah, up in Victoria. But the songs are kind of based in the environment of the Pacific Northwest, which is why we like to work with them. It was fun.
How did you discover them?
I'm only 3 hours south of the border with Vancouver. So, you know, I keep an eye to Vancouver and that scene a lot. There's a lot of good artists who come out of that scene. So we've been watching the Sweet Lowdown for a while. Their last album was great, and I kind of kept it on their radar. And then the new one came out, and we really wanted to help them out.
Well, we're going to go ahead and play the first track off of here. I think since we started off with an instrumental, we'll start with a song here from this, the Sweet Lowdown and River Winding Down from their new CD, Chasing the Sun.
Thank you.
was the Sweet Lowdown with River Winding Down from their new CD, Chasing the Sun. And we're talking with Devon Leger from Hearth Music, who has helped to promote them.
Yeah, we had a great time working with them. We're still kind of pushing stuff out. And, you know, the Canadian roots music scene is great on the West Coast. There's a lot of stuff moving in British Columbia. And we've been working a little bit. On our new magazine, we had a little bit of art from Jenny Ritter, who's another great Canadian singer-songwriter out of Vancouver. It's just a hot scene.
Your new magazine? Why, you should tell the folks all about Kith Folk.
Sure. Yeah, so we have Kith Folk. You know, my main work is music publicity for roots musicians. And then I figured, you know, I love the days of Dirty Linen, and I've subscribed to all those the UK magazines like Songlines and F-Roots. And I just kind of wish there was a magazine here that would cover world and real traditional music. And there isn't really a sing out kind of, but not a lot. So we decided to start our own magazine just for the heck of it. And it's been quite a labor of love. It's been a lot of work. Yeah. We have 3 issues. We just dropped the 3rd issue. We have about 20 articles with me and various other contributors writing about music from all over the world. We have an interview with a Mauritanian artist from Mauritania in North Africa. We have an interview about Jewish music and culture in Montreal. You have a recipe from Frank Sullivan, all kinds of cool stuff. It's been really fun.
And this is, the 3rd edition, and folks can find this online by going to?
Yeah, kithfolk.com. It's K-I-T-H-F-O-L-K, like kith and kin, kithfolk.com. It's up there. It's free. Anyone can have a look. And we have it's designed for the web and designed for the iPad. It's kind of, we're hoping to kind of move forward with some new paradigms for publishing.
That's right. I mean, I saw the first issue, and it came to me in a special app on my iPad.
Yeah, that's right. You download the Creativist app, and it's there, and it's nice on the iPad. I mean, you know, you think the iPad's really designed for this kind of experience. You know, with this magazine, the digital magazine, we can put in audio and video. We have, like, pictorials where we put up a lot of digital pictures. It's really designed. It's too bad there aren't more people. You know, the magazines in the iTunes store are kind of hard to do. That takes a lot of money to build that app.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big endeavor. So this is kind of DIY, but it's been fun to experiment with new ways. You know, I like hearing musicians' stories. I'm sure you understand. You know,
yeah.
You're the same way. It's the stories, really. You know, you get to like the music, and then the next step is to hear the stories behind it. You get really sucked in by that. I love that. So it kind of keeps me going.
I interviewed this fall. It was Howard Raines and Tricia Spencer.
Oh yeah, we love Howard Raines. He's great. They're both great.
I know they're great, and they you know, were telling us how much they feel that what they're doing is helping to keep the fiddlers from their backgrounds in Texas and Kansas alive. I mean, as Tricia said, you know, if I didn't play the songs my grandfather used to play, no one would know about them. I'd know about them, but no one else would. And it's just,
yeah,
it's great.
It's funny. I had a real similar experience with Acadian fiddling, because I always grew up like with old time fiddling, and my dad always played old time when I was a kid, and I never really thought there was any kind of tradition where he came from, you know, where our family is from in New Brunswick. So I got into old time and then Irish and even Quebecois, you know, from Quebec, and then recently we discovered there's an incredible tradition of Acadian fiddling with tunes I'd never heard and these fascinating rhythms. And you know, and there's these old fiddlers still out there in the boonies, you know, making really beautiful music who are totally unknown. So I understand where she's coming from, that kind of idea of, like, you know, especially Howard, and they're both really key on early Texas fiddling before, you know, Benny Thomas and all, before all that kind
all
of
the contest stuff,
fiddling.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, and it's the same in New Brunswick, you know, bluegrass is huge, and bluegrass and country and that kind of fiddling. And down east, the Don Messer style, that kind of fiddling really eclipsed the older style, but the older style is just, you know, riveting, very syncopated, very strange and raw,
well,
beautiful.
As you're talking about the older style, you might as well go ahead and introduce the next set of tunes. You know, 3 reels from, I'm going to mess up saying his name. Is it André Atoto Savoie?
Yeah, this is cool. André, he's an old fiddler. He's probably like in his late 70s, and he was recorded in the 70s on this real famous film. And he was kind of this wild guy on the film. And then nobody really ever heard from him. People thought he was dead. And then one of his tunes called André Atoto became really, really popular in Quebec. And a Celtic Fiddle Festival recorded it. A lot of artists recorded it. And I heard it. And I kind of discovered that he was Acadian. So then I spent some time finding him. I finally found out his last name was Savoie. And he lived in this town called Chipagon, which is this little tiny town in northeastern New Brunswick. So I didn't know what to do. I just called up the town. I just called up the visitor center. You know, I said, hey, do you guys have, like, a fiddler whose name is André Atoto Savoie living here? Oh, yeah, André Atoto. Yeah, he's right around the corner. I'll give you his phone number. I got his phone number. I just called him up. I said, hey, people love your music. We really love your music. You know, I'd love to visit with you sometime. Oh, sure. Come on by. So we got a chance to go to New Brunswick and check out this area he was in. And we got to meet him. He's a funny guy. He lives in this little, he's a lifelong bachelor. And he's kind of like almost a hermit. He lives in this little tiny apartment. And he still fiddles, not a lot, but he still fiddles. And he just has the most fascinating style of fiddling. These tunes are, you know, very, very syncopated and strange. Some tunes, it seems like he's using microtones in his fiddling because it always sounds very flat at one point, but consistently the exact same amount of flat, which is, you know, usually a cue when you're listening to old fiddling that you're listening to a microtone or some kind of variation of a standard scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from before the scale was standardized. Same with, you know, Tommy Jarrell and old-time music, you'll hear the same thing. And then we got to meet with him. He was the sweetest old guy, and it was really fun to kind of go to his house. And now other people have been going to meet with him, too. There's been a number of people who helped me find him and then who also went themselves. So he's had a little bit of a renaissance in his later years. And it was really fun to track down this kind of icon who had just disappeared for 30 years.
And you're gonna be playing here three of his reels, Coconut, St. Anne, his own version of it, and must be the reel of Beelzebub?
Yeah, the reel of Beelzebub, or Beelzebuth, is the tune that everyone calls Andrea Toto. And Coconut was a really good one. I remember I got a field recording of him. And it was during a festival, and he had these two guitarists, and one guitarist was very out of tune, and then the other guitarist was incredibly out of tune. So they had been partying a lot prior to the recording of this at the festival. And he plays the tune like three times, and each time he says, "It's actually a real composition, qui s'appelle Real de Coqueron." And he goes, "Well, there's an old tune I wrote called Real de Coqueron." And then the final time, he just hollers at the top of his lungs, "Coqueron!" And then starts jumping into fiddling. Funniest recording. It's quite a party he was having back in the day on stage.
Let's give a listen to three reels from the playing of André Savoie by La Famille Léger on WVUD. Thank you. had a great set of dance tunes there, Devon.
Yeah, thanks. That was the tunes from Andrea Toto Savoy, the hermit fiddler of northeastern New Brunswick.
And while it was playing, we were talking off the air about how, you know, I'd been up to New Brunswick. I had no idea that it was still a hotbed of, you know, Acadian culture.
Yeah, I wouldn't say hotbed. I mean, it's funny. It's like a lot of the culture has been really, not suppressed, but you know, the Acadians are very pacifistic people. They're very happy to, whatever you're interested in, they're interested in too. We went and met with another old fiddler who actually lived, you know, maybe 5 minutes away from Andrea Toto in another little town on the coast. And he was funny. As soon as he found out we liked Irish music, that's what he wanted to play. As soon as he found out we liked old-time music, that's what he wanted to play. And he played it all beautifully. And he had very old Acadian tunes as well, but he was too excited about the other tunes to get to those old tunes, which we wanted to hear. You know, it's a bilingual province, and my dad grew up speaking both languages. So, you know, it kind of goes back and forth between French and English culture all the time. Sometimes he'd speak both languages in the same sentence, you know, just back and forth. And there's a really funny dialect from his area of New Brunswick that his dad spoke that's called Shiak. It's from the town of Shadyac, where our family had a little cabin. And it's a weird, really weird combination of French and English and then ancient maritime nautical term.
Oh, wow. I think that's pretty interesting because I know I was raised out in Missouri. And around Herman, Missouri, was a whole German-American community that invented their own nouns for things. You know, so they had come up with their own word for tractor. They didn't use whatever the German word for tractor was because they'd been there so long, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that stuff's really fun. Well,
yeah,
I think,
Missouri has a French tradition as well. There's a
right.
I don't know.
Saint
Dennis
Genevieve
Stromat is the main fiddler, but it's like there's an old historical French language and fiddle tradition from Missouri.
Yeah, down in the southeast part of the state. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
down around the Boot Heel. Well, Devon, every time you and I chat, we have such a good time, and I'd really like to play one more song from one of your artists, but before we do that, why don't you tell us where people can get the kind of music that you tend to promote?
Sure. I mean, most of it, actually, you can connect with it through our blog, which is just hearthmusic.com, and then click on blog, or you can also get it all on CD Baby. CD Baby and Bandcamp are often the best ways. I mean, now you just Google the artist and it pops up.
Yeah.
But CD Baby is a great way to get this. You know, you get they're a real good kind of independent business that a lot of artists go to because they really help out the artists.
They say that the CD is dead, but I think in our genre, the folk music, it's not at all. It's really an exciting time. Lots of different music going out in CD, digital format.
I think maybe in like more popular music, people don't care about the liner notes as much, but I got to know where everything is from and where they got the song or the tune from and who was playing banjo on that track. But, you know, maybe I'm an outlier. You know, it's hard to say because we're both so keyed into the industry and so keyed into the music that we maybe consume music differently from other people or even younger people. But I can't imagine the CD is gone. You know, what's actually funny is that the vinyl is huge right now. They don't have enough like plants in the U.S. to even keep up with the vinyl demand. There's so much demand for it. And a lot of our artists right now are starting to cut in vinyl as well.
Oh, okay. Well, Devon, let's do one more track here. As I think I told you that Steve Klinge from All Tomorrow's Parties will not be joining you. So I've picked out as the last track we're going to play something from the Rail Splitters. Tell us about them.
Oh, the Rail Splitters. Yeah, they're a great group out of Colorado. Kind of progressive bluegrass, really good songwriting. We've been a fan of them for a little while now.
Well, Devon, this has been great. Let's go ahead and give a listen to something from the Rail Splitters 2013 CD. I've got picked out Room at the Top of the Stairs. Thank you so much, Devon.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Stares at the wall, not knowing that my heart lives there. In the cool of the night, she takes me inside and helps me with my troubles and my pain. She's warm, she's sweet, her kisses leave me. I love it when she touches my face. Sorrows and regrets, cries about the gray in her hair. I love her so much, oh, but she just won't believe that any man alive could ever care. Oh, I wish that I'd been there when she was a girl and love had treated her unfair. She wouldn't be so sad, she wouldn't live alone in a room at the top of the
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.